I greet you today in the name of my wonderful saving, sanctifying, healing, and soon coming Christ. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. And as you're turning there, let me remind you that we are in a series on our core values, and this is our third core value. This is week 3. We began with the core value of prayer and how the house of God should be the house of prayer. Last week, our second core value was evangelism and how there's only one way to heaven, and it's our responsibility and duty to reach out to those in our lives. So evangelism is our second core value. And we come to the third core value today. And before we begin, let me just tell you that when I announced the core value, if you've not already cheated and looked at the back of your bulletin, you may not think that it's a real exciting core value. And I'll be honest, it's not nearly as exciting as evangelism. Man, evangelism, we get excited about that, about winning people to Christ and sharing Christ and people getting saved, and that's wonderful. But the danger is that this core value, while it doesn't seem necessarily as exciting, it is crucially important to a Christian's life, and it is crucially important to our church. And so as we go through this today, keep that in mind, that it may not seem like it blows your mind, but it is crucially important. Matthew chapter 7, and let's look at verses 24 through 27. I'm going to invite you to stand as we read God's word together. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The title of the message is A Firm Foundation. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is alive and active and that it still has the power to change and transform our lives. And God, as we dive in today of this core value of discipleship, Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts and, Lord, that you would help us to embrace the responsibility of discipleship as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The foundation is the most important part of any structure that is built. A house, an office building, a church, a school, a great stadium. All of these need a firm foundation to withstand time, to withstand weather, and maybe even to withstand some kind of natural disaster. Our Christian walk also needs a firm foundation. Discipleship is the process in which not only we grow spiritually, but we develop a firm spiritual foundation. Our spiritual foundation should be the launching point of continued growth for the rest of our lives. Discipleship doesn't end, or at least it shouldn't end, after taking a class, reading a book, having a mentor, or going to a small group. Discipleship should be a lifelong process. We should constantly be learning and growing in our faith and our relationship with the Lord. No matter how much we know him, no matter how much we know about him, no matter how close we are to him, there is always room for growth and there is always room to know him more. We will never fully understand him. We will never fully know him until the day that we see him face to face. Jordantown Wesleyan exists to make disciples. Jesus has called us and commanded us to go and make disciples. I went over this with you a few weeks ago on our very first Sunday together. And so this morning, as we examine core value number 3, discipleship, I also want to introduce you to our new mission statement. This mission statement will drive everything that we do at Jordantown and will be the central focus of all of our ministries. I met with the board last Sunday night, and we came to this very quickly, we agreed very quickly on what our mission statement to be. And I want you to know it, I want you to learn it, because this is the central focus of who we are. Our mission statement is making lifelong disciples by leading every generation to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason that we're here. I want us to read this together. Read it with me. Let's read it out loud. making lifelong disciples by leading every generation to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I want you to know this. I want you to embrace it. I want you to buy into it. I want you to love it. Because listen, the more that we buy into this as a church, the more that we focus on this as a church, the more success we're going to have. And I don't mean success like the world measures success, but I mean the more people that we're going to be able to lead to Christ and the more people that we're going to be able to disciple into the body of Christ, which is the church. Don't be surprised if I come up to you one day and I say, what's Jordantown all about? And I will expect you to say, Jordantown is about making lifelong disciples of all believers by leading every generation to the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ. I promise I won't call you out in church. I shouldn't say I promise. I probably will not call you out in church to do that. But if we're passing in the hallway, or maybe I see you at Chick-fil-A or somewhere like that, don't be surprised if I ask you. It's not to embarrass you. It's because this is so important to who we are. It's so important to what we're doing as a church and our future as a church. So learn this mission statement. Embrace it. There are two phrases in here that are very important to me that I told the board. I said, we can talk and we can debate and we can change a few things here and there, but there are two phrases in here that are very important to me. The first one is lifelong. Lifelong disciples. This is important because there are many people that come to Christ that never actually become disciples. And they may become disciples just for a short period, but somewhere along the way they kind of fall back and they never become fully devoted, committed followers, lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ. And the second phrase is every generation, leading every generation. It would be easy for us to say, well, we're just going to focus on the adults and the kids can do their own thing. There are some churches that they put all their eggs in the basket of children and then they don't focus much on adults. But here at Jordantown, we are going to focus on leading every generation to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because our adults are important, our children are important, our teens are important, our visitors are important. Every generation, it doesn't matter. Every generation needs to hear the good news that Jesus saves. And we need to lead every generation to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite things to do is to look out and to see generations sitting together and worshiping together and growing together. I love it when I can look down and see two and three and maybe four generations worshiping together. That is important to me. That should be one of the heartbeats of our church, is that we don't just focus on one and let the others go, but we are committed to every generation that comes through our door. Our main job it's a twofold job. First of all, we are to win the unsaved, and second of all, we are to make lifelong disciples. Being a disciple of Christ is to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Not simply a student who just learns all that there is to learn and memorizes facts, but a disciple is a follower who learns and then puts it into action. In order for us to make lifelong disciples, we need to have a firm foundation, and that foundation only comes through discipleship. Discipleship is so important because it's where we begin to put down roots. It's where our faith begins to deepen, our knowledge grows, and we begin to learn about the Jesus who has saved us and what he wants for our lives. Discipleship can take many forms. Sunday school is a great tool of discipleship. It's a great form of discipleship. Did you know that back in the 1970s and 80s, Sunday school was actually the biggest program in the church? It would be nothing to have a church that averaged 150 for their Sunday school, and then you look at their worship statistics, and they only had 100, or 110, or 120. Sunday school was much larger than the worship service. Today, it's the exact opposite. I think our statistics last year, we averaged 87 in Sunday morning worship, and I meant to look it up before this morning, and I forgot, but I think if memory serves me correctly, our Sunday school attendance was about 25 to 30, somewhere in there. So it wasn't even half of our primary Sunday morning attendance. Sunday school is a great tool for discipleship. Also, there are Bible studies. We offer a Bible study on Wednesday night. These are great, also a great form, a great tool of discipleship. Probably my favorite discipleship tool is a one-on-one mentor. I've had different mentors in my life. I continue to have different mentors in my life. And my plan is that I will always have somebody that I go to learn. Somebody that I go to when I bounce ideas off of, or I talk to about frustrations or about strategies. Somebody who is farther along in this process than I am. Maybe it's somebody who has a larger church. Maybe it's somebody who's just better at this one area than I am. I remember in college, I had a different mentor every single year. And there were some years that I had a different mentor every semester. So I would have two in the year. And I continue the process today. There's somebody that I meet with for leadership. There's somebody that I talk to about things where wisdom is involved. There are people that I talk to about shepherding and pastoring and preaching and all these different people that that still invest in me because it's a one-on-one mentorship and it's still a tool of discipleship, even in my own life. Also, there are small groups. There are a lot of churches that have small groups. We don't have them at the moment, but this is something that we're looking at doing. I'll be honest, I would love to launch small groups this fall, but I just don't feel like we're at a place where we can launch them this fall effectively, and I want them to succeed. I don't want them to fail. I want them to succeed, so we're probably looking more at January for the launch of small groups. But this is a discipleship tool that a lot of people, especially a lot of younger people, they like the small group atmosphere. I did a Wednesday night class, a new believers class that I kind of formed it as a small group. And we were talking about the dynamics of the class. And there were a couple people in there that said, I have shared things in this setting, in this atmosphere, that I've not even shared in Sunday school because it's just a different atmosphere. It's a different level of discipleship. And this is something that we're looking at in the near future. So discipleship takes on many different forms. We need to find the form that fits you best because the most important thing is not the process, is not the form, but it's the discipleship itself. We can gather from Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7 that we're going to face storms in life. He talks about the rain, the streams rising in the wind. So we know that there will come a time when our faith will be tested. When those times come, we need to have a firm foundation so that we won't spiritually collapse. And so for the rest of our time today, I want us to look at the firm foundation that discipleship provides for us. First of all, discipleship provides a greater understanding of God. It provides a greater understanding of God. It teaches us who He is. There are people that they get saved and they have these pictures of who God is. They have these pictures of what they have heard about Him or what they have come to believe about Him. And so discipleship, it teaches us who God is. It takes away these false images of God. It takes away these false thoughts of God. And it teaches us, in fact, who God is. We learn about His characteristics and His attributes. We learn that He is not a God who wants to zap us when we do something wrong. But He is a God of great love, of great compassion, of great mercy and grace. We learn about who God is. Also, in having a greater understanding of God, we also learn what He expects of me. We learn what He expects of me. A lot of people, they come to Christ and they just think that it's a list of do's and don'ts. I can't do this, this, and this, and this, and I have to do this, this, and this. And in this process of discipleship, those things are broken down. They come to realize that God is not a God who just has this list of rules of do's and don'ts. But in this discipleship process, they learn what God wants from them. They learn what the expectations are that He has for them. They learn that He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourselves. In John chapter 14, Jesus is talking, I believe He's talking to Peter, and He says, Peter, if you love me, keep my commands. Discipleship is this process where new converts, where maybe even people who have been saved for a long time, but they have never had a discipleship experience, they learn a greater understanding of God, of who He is, of what He wants for them, of what our duties and responsibilities are as a Christian. The firm foundation provides a greater understanding of God. Secondly, it also develops character. Discipleship develops character. This is the process where we see spiritual refining taking place. We think that when people get saved, we think that as soon as they get up from this altar and they stand to their feet, there are some people that we want to take the Bible and we want to beat them over the head and we want to say, okay, now you can't do this, 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 and this since you're a Christian. and you have to do this, this, this. We're back to the list of do's and don'ts, aren't we? But this is a time where God spiritually refines people. There are people that they come to Christ and they still have these habits of the world, whether it's using foul language, whether it's using tobacco or alcohol or gambling or gossiping or looking at inappropriate things on the internet or TV. Or the list could go on and on of what those things could be. But we could go to those people and we could say, listen, you need to cut that out. You need to stop that right now because that's not what God wants for you. And you know what? That isn't what God wants for them. But in this process of discipleship is where the Holy Spirit comes down and he begins to refine the heart of someone. It's the Holy Spirit's job to put his thumb in the back of someone, not necessarily ours. And so in this process of discipleship, when people are going through classes or Sunday school or they're meeting with a mentor, it's during this time that as they're learning about God, as they're learning about who he is, as they're learning about themselves and what he expects from them, it's in this time that he begins to develop this character within them. And even in this developing of the character is spiritual refining, where he begins to say, you know what? You used to do this. You don't need this anymore. You don't need this to fill this void in your life anymore because I and the thing that fills that void. I was talking to somebody not long ago, and he was talking about how he had gotten saved, and he said, if you would have told me a year ago that you didn't need this, this, and this, I would have said, you are crazy. He said, but I sit here today, and I tell you that God has done such a work in my life that he pointed these things out of my life, and he said, you don't need any of these things anymore. It develops character through spiritual refining. Also, under develops character, we see spiritual fruit is developed. Galatians chapter 5, 20, in verse 22, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things are developed through discipleship. I remember several years ago, I was praying, and I said, God, I said, make me loving and kind and compassionate and all these fruits of the Spirit. And then I realized, you know what? These aren't things that God's going to give me like that. These are fruits of the Spirit. And so in this process of discipleship, as people are learning and growing, that we see the spiritual fruit start to come out. We see the greatest compliment somebody can get is when you're around people maybe who knew you before and they see these fruits coming out. They know that there's something different, whether it's that you're more loving or that you're more patient or that you're more kind. Whatever these fruits are coming out, and they say, hey, there's something different about you. What's different? It's because the fruits of the Spirit are manifesting themselves in your life. And the fruits of the Spirit come through discipleship. And these fruits are revealed to anybody who is around us, revealing of the fruits of the Spirit. Henry Wingblade was the second president of Bethel University in St. Paul, Minnesota. He said this, Christian personality is hidden deep inside us. It is unseen, like the soup carried high over a waiter's head. No one knows what's inside unless the waiter is bumped and he trips. Just so, people don't know what's inside us until we've been bumped. But if Christ is living inside us, what spills out is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is developed in the process of discipleship. Number three, the firm foundation of discipleship, what it provides us is it builds community. Discipleship builds community. If we look back at Acts chapter 2, the story of the early church, we see that they ate together and they broke bread together just about every day. And they sold things and they gave to anyone who was in need because of this great community that they had. The Smith family, they lost everything in a fire. So these families over here, they decide, well, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. I can take it and give it to them. I could sell. I have an extra plow. I could give it to them. Or I've got three plows. I'll give them one. I'll sell one. I'll give them the money for the other. And I'll keep the third one for myself. It was this great community. And discipleship builds great community. Whether it's through Sunday school, whether it's through a Bible study, whether it's through small group, whether it's through a one-on-one, whatever method the discipleship takes place in, it always breeds this great community. There's fellowship that happens. There are relationships that are formed. There's this great bond between people. I don't know if any of you have ever, has anybody ever gone on a missions trip? Just raise your hand so I can see it. Just people raise their hand like this. They don't want me to see. Okay, I think I caught a glimpse of like three or four hands. The people who went on mission trips will tell you that the team that they went on this missions trip with, when they came back, there was this great bond between the members of the team because they had been in this together. And it's the same way with discipleship. It creates these great bonds that we can only have when we're together. We can only have when we're fellowshipping. We can only have through building relationships. I talked to somebody this week, and the person said, "Pastor Matt, I don't want to take a Sunday night off. I love coming to church. I love being around other people. I just want to be around people from church all the time." That is great. That is community. Those are relationships that have formed and that are continuing to form bonds. Hopefully, they're lifelong bonds that people are making. The church I grew up in just outside of Detroit, Michigan, was a great church. We had great preaching, great leadership, phenomenal music. It was a growing area, so we just exploded. Part of the reason was because people bought into the mission. But one of the things that I noticed about our church was this great community within our church. Our second service got over probably around 12:15. Sometimes we went a little bit long, 12:30. But it would be nothing for 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon to look across the parking lot and to still see people hanging out and talking in the parking lot. It was nothing for people to go out after church together, a group of them going to eat together. They got together, we had activities and people, there was something at the church every single night. It was because of this great community that was built through discipleship. This is a firm foundation that every Christian needs. And lastly, the last thing that discipleship provides in a firm foundation is it provides accountability. It provides accountability. Provides accountability to God. We now know what He expects of us. Provides accountability to each other. It provides accountability to yourself. Discipleship provides accountability. I have an accountability partner that he doesn't live in the area, so we don't talk on the phone about accountability stuff like every single week. We probably should do it a little bit more often, but it is somebody who has permission to examine any area of my life that he wants. And I have permission to examine any area of his life that I want. There is no question that is out of bounds. There is no question that's off limits. I can ask him, "Have you been faithful to your wife in word, thought, and deed this week?" I could say, "Have you been looking at anything on TV or the internet that you shouldn't be looking at?" He could say, "Are you treating people with loving kindness that God wants you to treat people with?" Whatever we want to ask is on the table. Not long ago, his wife and kids were out of town, and he texted me and he said, "Could you check in with me on Saturday and just ask me if I've watched anything on TV that I shouldn't have watched?" I didn't even know his wife was going to be gone. He took it upon himself. Accountability. It only comes through discipleship. There are people in the church, they don't want accountability. They want to be able to do what they want to do, and they don't want any form of accountability whatsoever. There are people in the world that they don't want any form of accountability whatsoever. We see that in our politicians all the time. They don't want to be held accountable. They make promises and then they get into office and they just do whatever they want. But let me tell you this, whether you think that you are accountable to anyone on planet Earth or not, you may or may not be. I think you are. I'm accountable to people. But you will be accountable to an almighty God. Discipleship provides accountability. John Wesley, we know that name, so familiar. He was so concerned with building a righteous fellowship that he devised a series of questions for his followers to ask each and every week. Some found this rigorous system too demanding and they left. Today, the very idea of such a procedure would horrify many churchgoers. See, John Wesley understood accountability way back in the 1800s or whenever he was around. I probably should know that a little bit better, but whenever he was around. Chuck Swindoll. Some of you know Chuck Swindoll, the name Chuck Swindoll. He has seven questions that he and a group of fellow pastors challenge each other with periodically. Let me read you these. We're talking about accountability. Have you been with a woman anywhere this past week that could be seen as compromising? Have any of your financial dealings lacked integrity? Have you exposed yourself to any sexually explicit material? Have you spent adequate time in Bible study and prayer? Have you given priority time to your family? Have you fulfilled the mandates of your calling? And this question is my favorite. Have you just lied to me? We are all accountable to someone. I close with this. Kyle Searcy serves as a senior pastor of Fresh Anointing House of Worship in Montgomery, Alabama. He wrote an article that I read this week. It's entitled, "We've Got a Discipleship Problem." I want to read you what he wrote. Remember, we're talking about the importance of discipleship. Someone comes to Christ, and then we're talking about the importance of discipling them. Because if we don't, there's a good chance that they're going to go out the back door. They're going to slip through the cracks, and eventually they may end up back in the same world that they just came from. And this is what Bishop Searcy says. The church has fewer disciples than ever before. Focusing on evangelism without insisting converts to be discipled is like a dating relationship that never grows to courtship or marriage. It is like a new hire on a job who never receives orientation or training to perform well. Evangelism without discipleship is like a newborn child who only receives 4 weeks of training about life when he gets home from the hospital and a 30-minute talk once a week from dad at the dinner table. It is like a college freshman who receives a full scholarship but does not attend class or finish her college program. And this one, I think, rings the most true. Focusing on evangelism without insisting converts be discipled is like a young recruit who joins the military and receives none of the boot camp or specialty training critical to fulfilling a mission. We have a mission that's before us. And there are going to be new soldiers that come in and that sign up for the mission right here. But then it's our job to make sure they go through basic training and boot camp. Because when they get in this war, they have to have a firm foundation to stand on. Because Jesus said, the storms are coming. And when the waters rise and the rains come and the winds blow, those who built their house on the rock will stand. But those who built their house on the sand will come to a great crash. Discipleship is the process of building your spiritual house on the rock. You close your eyes. Bow your heads with me. Like anything else that we do here, guys, discipleship has to be something that we focus on. It has to be intentional. We have to be committed to it. When someone comes to Christ, we can't just say, that's great, that is great, but that is just the very beginning. We have a long road ahead of us after that. We have to spend time pouring into these new converts. We have to spend time discipling them, because when those winds come, we want their spiritual house to be able to stand. And if we don't take time to disciple our converts, if this is not a priority to us, if this is not a core value, there'll be many people that come in, they'll bow at a place of prayer, they'll accept Christ, and nobody will take the time to teach them about the God that they serve or his expectations or to grow with them or to build community with them. And at some point when those storms come, their house is going to collapse and they're going to be washed out to sea. Discipleship is our third core value, and it has to be a priority at Jordantown. And let me just say this too in closing. If you are not involved in a discipleship group of some form, please consider joining one. We have several. There are Sunday school classes. There's a Wednesday night Bible study. There are things that are good that will help you in this process. There are things that we're working on for the future that we're going to add that hopefully will help maybe be able to meet some people that are falling through the cracks. Maybe that's something that they're looking for that would suit them better. So those things are coming. But if you are not in a discipleship process, please, for your own spiritual development, for your own spiritual future, please consider getting involved in those things. If you don't know where to start, come talk to me. Talk to Dana. She heads up our Sunday school. I would love to tell you what we have to offer and be able to help find you, plug you into a place for you to grow as a Christian. We don't want to be a spiritually shallow church. We don't want to be spiritually shallow people. We want to be people, and we want to be a church of deep spiritual maturity. And guys, that only comes through discipleship. I ask you to stand and let's pray together. God, I thank you for your help this morning. God, I ask that you would help us to be lifelong disciples. Lord, help us not to get too comfortable to think that we know it all. Help us not to get too comfortable to think that there's not still more there to learn about you, to learn about our spiritual walk. But God, help us to be continually growing in our relationship with you. But I ask that you would help us as a church to be devoted and committed to discipling the new converts that we get. Lord, help us not just to lead them to Christ and let them try to figure this out on their own, but Lord, help us to take them in, to encourage them, and to show them the ropes of discipleship. Help us to be able to help them establish a firm spiritual foundation. God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, I ask that you would dismiss us as we leave this place. God, dismiss us from this place, but not your presence. And God, we'll be sure to give you praise. And we ask all of this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Let's roll. You're dismissed.